God. All right, are we ready to get back into the scriptures? Brother, yeah, I can't. Dustin. Interesting young man here, and he's kind of told me his testimony, and I appreciate that. A lot of you, God called you out of a lot of stuff. And you just, you know, when he calls you out of stuff, you're just glad to be saved. You know, you're just glad to know the truth. So I appreciate that. But here's a situation where he sees something in the Bible, and he's helping me with it. Because what I just shared with you this morning, there are people, and they're pretty mean about it. They will tell you that what we just read out of Matthew 24 is not for you. Okay, it's not for you. So it has no application and no fulfillment to you whatsoever. But he just showed me the parallels to Matthew 24 is Mark 13, Luke 21. And if you will look in verse 37 of Mark 13, and I'll give you a minute to turn there. It's like Jesus anticipated this. He said, Mark 13, verse 37, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." I'm done. I don't need anything else. Amen. I mean, that's what it says. So I have to bind my thoughts, my ideas, theories that I have or whatever, you know, whatever I'm trying to work through in the scripture, I have to bind it to the frame of the Word of God. And I have to believe what this book says. And if this book tells me that he says it to me, he says it to everybody, then I have to accept that. I have to deal with it. And I have to, the word of, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for correction. Correction. Because we all think stuff. Well, I wonder if it's like this, wonder if it's like that. The Bible will then correct us. Let's say that we're talking and you and I aren't agreeing on something. Quote scripture. Quote scripture. One of us is going to be right, one of us is going to be wrong. But let's have a humble spirit so that we can be corrected if we're wrong. Okay? That's all I'm asking people to do. Let's talk about the gathering. And I believe in the words, the language of the King James Bible. That's something that God has helped me with very early on when I began to study the scriptures. And began to ask God questions, began to apply knowledge and understanding, gain understanding, God began to show me things. The first thing that really hit me is I mentioned it earlier this morning. I didn't know, you know how 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about, "For they, when they shall see peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." I didn't know that travail upon a woman thing was in other places in the Bible. I didn't know that. And I was reading through some things. I was looking at Isaiah 13 and I saw it there and I went, I bet they're connected. And they are. They are connected. There's a connection there. You'll see other places where a woman's having a baby. Like we saw with Ichabod. Now Ichabod is the man of sin. He represents the glory has departed. That's who Ichabod is. He is the man of sin, the son of perdition. So a baby, a child has been born. There's been a birthing. And it's accompanied with things that are going to happen in the last days. And so when I see something in the scriptures, I look at the word. And then I used to use some old software. It can't run on Windows 7 64-bit anymore. So that's why we had a lady write software for us. But you just type in the word that you're looking for. And if there's 300 occurrences, then flip through 300 occurrences of that word and read the scriptures. Read those verses. Find out what God's saying. At some point, you're going to read something, you're going to go, wow. How many of you have done that before? Isn't that cool? You just go, wow. Now you're doing here a little, there a little. Now it's like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle and you got that one piece in your hand and you search for 3 days looking for where that goes. And you finally go, wow. Now I've only got 800 more. Because you got all the corners, right? And everything else you got to figure out. So let's study Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. They all say that he's going to gather together his elect. So let's look at the gathering according to the scriptures. And so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 starts out this way. This is where we see the falling away. He which now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then that shall that wicked be revealed. Now we beseech you, brethren, and I have the verses up on the screen here, but we may go different places in the word this morning. But now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So we're looking at an instance where we have the coming of the Lord and our gathering unto him. So now let's apply 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. See the word gather and the word together? Together, because that's the English words have that common core there. Together shall be caught up with them together to meet in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So our gathering, he's going to gather us together, because not all the Christians in the whole world, the born-again saints, are sitting right here in Bethel Church. Okay? We have, I checked a while ago, there's something like 400 or 500 people online right now watching from different places around the world. Amen to that. Different places around the world. Okay? In a sense, God has gathered us all here together. Okay? But in that day, he's going to take every saint, every born-again, and he's going to gather us together to make his body. We are his body, all right? By our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Remember, there's going to be a shaking coming. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. There's that word again, troubled. Jesus said, Matthew 24, see that you be not troubled. Study the word trouble or troubled or troubling. Through the scripture, just write these words down and later on, just get the software and study those words. Okay? And you'll go, oh, look there. Okay? Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Because there are other books that were written around the time of Paul's writings that were not Paul. Paul didn't write them. There's a gospel according to Timothy. Timothy didn't write one. There's a gospel according to Peter. Peter didn't write one. These are pseudo gospels. These are pseudo books that were, the early church rejected them. The Holy Spirit, through the priesthood of the believer, said, it's not my word. So they rejected them. The book of Enoch. Enoch did not write a book. He didn't. The book of Enoch belongs to what's called pseudepigrapha, which means a pseudonym is on that book. Somebody else wrote it. We date it back to the intertestamental period between Malachi and Matthew. And it's been translated, you know, in different languages. And they call it pseudepigrapha because they know Enoch didn't write it. But it's got Enoch's name on it. They want you to believe that it's his book. But it's not the word of God. So, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. There he says it again. Don't let it happen. For that day shall not come. What day? Day of Christ, the coming of our Lord, and are gathering together unto him. That's what he's talking about here. Walk circumspectly, the Bible says. So when you see that day, look around that phrase in the Bible. Look around, look at the verses before it, the verses after it. That's what walking circumspectly means. In theology talk, they say, look at the context of the scripture that it's in. And that's right. Look around that verse. See what's before and after it. That day shall not come, except there come Eli falling backwards and dying. There's a falling away. The star is falling. People falling in the plain of Dura. Babylon has fallen. Remember what happened to the statue of Dagon? He fell. They set him back up because their God needs somebody to help him. Isn't that funny? Their God has legs, but they got to carry him around. Their God has arms. Okay? Well, they have to do everything for him. He's got ears, but he can't hear anything. He's got eyes, but he can't see you. He's got a mouth, but he can't talk. Okay? So anyway, they're going to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, because right now he is occulted. The word occult means secret. It's secret. It's, we can't show anybody. Do you remember the story when Rachel and when Jacob had Rachel and Leah and his two other wives and the tribes of Israel, and he was leaving Laban? And Rachel had stolen Laban's idols. And she didn't want to be caught with them. So what did she do? She hid the idol. She hid the God. What she did was, she said, I'm in my time. And the law says she's unclean. So we have an unclean woman sitting on this thing. And it's interesting because the law says whatever the woman sits on is unclean during this time. So you bring all this together. Here you have this woman sitting on this chest, hiding the idol. And it's an unclean thing. So just kind of think about that picture. Mystery Babylon the Great. Her first name is Mystery. Because her role is to keep who this other Jesus is a secret. You can't tell anybody who this is. Jesus said, tell everybody who I am. Don't hide it. It's not a secret anymore. I want everybody to know and have a revelation of the mystery. But this man of sin has not been revealed yet. But he will be, because God reveals the deep and the secret things, doesn't he? Everything that's hidden is going to be uncovered. Everything that's a secret is going to be revealed, God says, in the last days. Then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So this happens at the time of our gathering. That day shall not come except there be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. So according to what I see in the scripture, here's what I see. I see there coming a time when there will be, as you see in the typology of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was a revelation of the God, which was the statue that Nebuchadnezzar built, and he's got sixes all over him. You ever notice that? He's 60 cubits tall and 6 cubits wide. Just doesn't take a genius to figure that out, who that is. Okay? So there's a revelation, and at the time of the revelation, everybody falls, except God's people. Okay? They said, we're not doing it. So I think there's going to come a time. And the reason why I think you ought to really study your Bible and know it and learn it so that you're not deceived. Because there's going to be two Jesuses. Just like there was on the day that Israel made her decision, on the day of Christ's crucifixion, they had a choice. They had the Messiah, Jesus. And they had a thief and a murderer that came up out of prison. Where does the beast come from? The prison. He's in prison right now. He's going to be brought up out of prison. And so Israel had two right in front of them. They had a tree of life, Jesus, and they had a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Who did they choose? Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Kill him. Okay? So the whole world is going to come a day. I think the world is going to get a choice. Here's Jesus. Here's the real one. Here's the fake one. Okay? And I sort of had this little idea that this fake Jesus is going to look like the guy on the back of the Heavenly Highway hymns. You ever seen those hymn books? You ever seen the painting of Jesus? Long flowing brown hair. Okay. Yeah. I think it's going to look like the Shroud of Turin.
Exactly.
You know, I may be wrong, but I think that's what it's going to look like. Okay. Because the Jesus I believe in has hair as wool, white as snow. Amen. Anyway. So, the gathering together unto Him. So let's study the gathering throughout the Scriptures. Go to the Old Testament, work our way through. The scepter shall not... This is the prophecy given by Jacob to his 12 sons. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, that means from his loins, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Guess who Shiloh is? It's Christ. You want to see something neat? Okay, you want to hear something really, 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 really neat? Okay? The word Shiloh in the King James Bible is found exactly 33 times. And what happened with Shiloh? Shiloh was the first capital of Israel. And then God took it away because of Israel's rebellion. Then He gave them a new city, Jerusalem. So watch this. Shiloh, 33 times in the Bible, that's Christ, and He comes to them. He's their king. He's because He's the king of the Jews. From His birth to His death, for 33 years, He's the king of the Jews. But they reject Him, so He goes away. He's killed, but He's coming back to be their God and their king again. You know how many times the word Jerusalem is mentioned in the Old Testament? Shiloh and Jerusalem. Shiloh's 33 times. Jerusalem in the Old Testament is 667 times. Do the math of both of those, Shiloh and Jerusalem together. 33 plus 667. Seven hundred. That's the number for God's perfection. The end, the zeros behind it reference the king. 10 is always the number for dominion. You have 10 toes on your feet. I could see mine. Okay? But you have 10 toes on your feet, and when you stand on something, you have dominion over it. Did your sisters ever do that to you? Wrestle with you and stand on you? Mine did. I won't talk about it. I had one sister. Okay? When you're standing on somebody's head, you have dominion over them. That's 10 toes. The 10 kings... The 10 toes of the fourth kingdom is going to have dominion over the earth. Okay? So anyway, that's just something interesting. But Shiloh is going to come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. There's a picture of it right there. The scepter should not depart from Judah. And so right here is a proto-gospel. It's a picture of the gospel. Christ didn't come. He was a priest, but he didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He came from Judah. Different tribe. So unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 2. Beautiful, beautiful here. Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. I like that. You're supposed to take one whole piece of silver and make two trumpets out of the whole. Because this is a picture of your Bible. Because God, in the whole of the Bible, spake all of those words. Say amen. From Genesis to Revelation, He spake all of those words. That thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. So what is the significance of these two trumpets? In Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified, how many times? Seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I believe that verse. I stake my life on that verse. That God promised that He would preserve all of His pure words from this generation forever. So then in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, so that's why it's silver. And He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Whose voice was that? It was the Son of Man. So the trumpet, the two trumpets of silver are the Old and the New Testament. Okay? Now, the deal was in Numbers 10, He said, when you sound with only one trumpet, then that's a signal for everybody to know that We're going to gather together the elders. We're going to have a meeting. Okay, we need to talk about something and how we're going to do something. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow. And he's, if you go back and read that, if you walk around this verse, you'll see the context of it, that they're blowing both trumpets when they gather everybody together. So is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. Because they're not blowing for war, they're blowing the trumpets to do what? Gather everybody together. Now, what I'm seeing in all of the scriptures that I'm showing you today is that I believe God is going to do several things. He's going to gather together his elect. When we get to looking at the elect, you'll see what I'm talking about. He's going to gather together the Gentiles and us, we will meet the Lord in the air. I also believe he's going to gather together Israel. They're scattered all over the place. He's going to bring them back together again. Something else that we're going to see is that there is also going to be a gathering together of all of those who are going to make war against Jesus. They're all going to be gathered together. Now, I'm going to show you a symbol that you've probably seen before, because I like symbols. I want to show you a symbol that when you see it, you're going to go, that's what that is. Are you ready to go? Here's the 1,000-year reign. I like this. See, 70. 70. Seven for the last day, the Sabbath, the 1,000-year reign. The 10, the multiple, is dominion. What's in the 70th chapter of the Bible? 10 commandments. 7 times 10. They're perfect. And not to add to anything, that's why God wrote them on the front and the back of those stone tablets. Can't add anything, can't take anything away. But then it's the 10 commandments because the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. See the 10 and the dominion? So it's there. So he chose the 70 men. This is a picture of the last days. Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will do what? I'll come down. I'll come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee. And I will put it upon them. Isn't that beautiful? He's going to give them the Holy Spirit. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. I believe this is a picture when Christ comes with how many of his saints? 10,000s of his saints. We are going to rule and reign with him, that the burden be not all on Christ. He'll use us to rule the 10,000s of his saints to rule with him for 1,000 years. Because 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10. You know what the dimensions were of the most holy place in the wilderness tabernacle? 10 cubits by 10 cubits by 10 cubits. 1,000 cubic cubits. And that's where the throne, the Ark of the Covenant, was. And then he said in verse 24, Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud. Isn't that neat? And spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Beautiful, beautiful, this King James Bible. Now notice, this is an interesting story. Numbers 15, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon what day? He's not keeping the fourth commandment. He should have gathered his sticks when? The day before. That's when you're supposed to gather the manna. Day before. You're supposed to gather a double portion on day 6 so that you don't have to go out and do it on the Sabbath, because God said you're going to rest on the Sabbath. That's what you're going to do. Okay? And to all the SDA people, he did not say you had to go to church on the Sabbath. It's not what the Bible says. says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou work and labor. Seventh day is the day of rest. Rest. Okay? I'm breaking the Sabbath day. I'm working. This is my labor. Anyway, thank God for grace. Amen? But anyway, so he gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. What is the connection here? And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, which means that hold him in jail, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. For what? He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. God said, no. And all the congregation shall do what? Stone with stones without the camp. Think about what Christ is in Daniel chapter 2. He's the stone cut without hands. How does God destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist, the ten toes? How does God destroy that? He stones them. What was that? And here, right here, we have the punishment for breaking the law. They were to be taken outside the camp and stoned with stones. Anytime you see somebody being stoned, that is a picture of Christ, the stone, destroying the fourth kingdom in the book of Daniel. That's what happens in the last days. Ye then as lively stones. So we are stones. Christ is the cornerstone, the rejected stone. You and I are the lively stones, and we're going to come down and destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist in the last days. Aren't you excited about that? I would love to do what Romans 16 says we're going to do. May the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I would love to do that one. I got a little dance I'm going to do on him. Amen? What is that symbol? Anybody ever seen that before? Is it still on the dime? You have a dime? If you got two nickels to rub together, you're doing all right. Is it still on the back of a dime? Everybody's looking. Here, hang on, I'll help you. It's a fasces. F-A-S-C-E-S. Look at what it is. It's a bundle of sticks bundled together holding a what? An axe head. Okay? This symbol, when you believe the Bible, you know what symbols mean. So we have this man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. He's put in prison. Then he's taken out of prison and he's stoned. That's a picture of the beast. So right now, the spirit of the Antichrist is gathering his people together. They're going to be gathered together for, and this was an instrument of war, a battle axe, as it were. Okay? So here we have, and this is actually, this. You know where this one is? Congress. There's so many occult symbols in Washington, D.C. Boy, it is a Babylon. It is. It's a mystery city. It's what Washington, D.C. is. But this symbol represents people's coming together and being bound together to make war against Christ in the last days. So I'll show you that. 2 Kings chapter 6. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Where's the beast going to come from? The water, the seas, rising up out of the sea. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the what? The iron did swim. What is the fourth kingdom in Daniel chapter 2? iron. Or as they say down below here, arm. There's a town down south here called Ironton. And if you're from down there, you say, hey, where are you from? I'm down from Arnton. Okay? The iron did swim. So here's the iron axe head rising up out of the water. Okay? Let me show you another place. John 15:6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a what? And is withered. And men do what to them? And cast them where? They are burned. And what is it in John 15? What is the reason why they can no longer abide in Christ? His words don't abide in them. What's being done in our churches, guys? They don't believe the Bible anymore. They don't preach the Bible. They're preaching Superman. They're preaching because they spent $1,000 for a company that already pre-wrote 4 sermons for the month and gave them movie clips of the Man of Steel. And these preachers all over the country advertised that they were going to talk about Jesus the superhero. And so this preacher that makes a ton of money every year doesn't have to study all month and come up with a sermon because he bought one. He bought 4 of them for $1,000 with the movie clips so he can read the pre-written sermon and tell everybody that the son of Krypton means mystery, secret, that the son of Krypton is Jesus. So follow that. But Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you Jesus Christ. And so while the Bible says don't follow the myths and the fables, all the preachers are now saying, oh, follow this. This is Jesus. It's good. But it's not the same Jesus, is it? It's a different one. Okay? So because the words are not abiding in the church people, they also are going to be part of a gathering. But not the same gathering that those who believe the Bible are. These people are going to be gathered together as sticks, branches, and they're going to be cast into the fire to be burned. Acts chapter 4, verse 26. The kings of the earth also. He's quoting Psalm 2. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered. See that? Gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Who believes in conspiracies? You believe in conspiracies? You should. Because they're in the Bible. There is an Illuminati. There is a new world order coming. There is a kingdom that's going to take over the whole earth. And it's being talked about in secret places right now, like the Bilderberg meeting. And I found out that if you'll just study the Bible, you can be like a fly on the wall in the Bilderberg Hotel. You can find out everything they've got planned. Because it's right here. Okay? So we have the kings of the earth, and the rulers are gathering together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel. How many fingers am I holding up here? Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel. Fourth kingdom. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, that's the first time I counted this. And my mind just goes into action. When I see a list, I'm going, one. Oh, there's 4. Okay? So there's a conspiracy here. There was a conspiracy when Christ came the first time. They were gathered together to be against the Lord and against His Christ, against His anointed, His Messiah. And if you are in Christ, marvel not when they come against you as well. Marvel not when men speak evil of you falsely. And I've said this a dozen times. I'd much rather have men speak evil against me falsely than to speak evil against me and be telling the truth. Amen. So what did they say about Christ? They lied. What did they say about Naboth? Jezebel had two witnesses brought in, and they both lied. False witnesses. Acts 28, verse 3. And when Paul had gathered, watch this. Look at the story. When Paul had gathered a what? Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and did what with them? Isn't that neat? And so in the bundle of sticks here that's headed to the fire, there's something that's coming out of these sticks. It's the iron axe. So what happens when Paul gathers the sticks? There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast, hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance serveth not to live. And he shook off who? The beast into the fire and felt no harm. Isn't that beautiful? Because Jesus had promised, I will give you power to tread 10 toes upon scorpions and serpents. Nothing shall harm you. And if the serpent bites you, it won't hurt you. And that's led some people to think that they can tempt God.
Yeah.
Okay? And they die. Duh! But can the devil hurt you? He can't. And though they be gathered together against us, they still can't hurt us. Because do the math. And you don't have to. Fractions, I always kind of had a problem with fractions. You have a problem with fractions? You have a problem with fractions? But I know that 2/3 is more than 1/3. So 2/3 of the angels throw out the other 1/3 of the angels. And remember when the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. He said, they be more that are with us than are against us. Well, yeah, there's 2/3 for us and 1/3 against us. We win. Here's a picture of the Battle of Armageddon in Numbers 16. Typology. Look at the story. Look at the language of the King James Bible. What did Korah do? He gathered all of the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared. You see that? This is Revelation 19. Numbers 16, verse 31. It came to pass as he had made an end of speaking all these words. This is what, who is it, Jude or 2 Peter mentioned the gainsaying of Korah in telling us about the false prophets. Speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth, because the earth is a woman, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit. So what happens on the Battle of Armageddon? The beast and the false prophet were taken and cast alive into the lake of fire. And cast alive, they went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. But you see, what Korah did was he gathered all the people like sticks and bundled them together so he would have people on his side. He thought, we're going to outvote Moses. If I get enough people on my side, we can do it. And Moses was just one man, but he had God on his side. Revelation 19:19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, and what were they? Gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into Fire Lake. I'm done with the Comic-Con series. I recorded the last one this week. I'm gonna put it out next week. And so I took that Son of Satan comic book, and I've got it put away now. Okay? It's icky. But it's really funny because the Son of Satan in this comic book lives. He's the seed of the devil at night, and in the daytime, he's the man of God. He has a dual personality. It's really weird the way they wrote this guy out. But he lives next to Fire Lake, which would be really convenient because that's where he's going. Okay? These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Numbers 21:23. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. Who is Sihon? He was the Amorite, and the prophet said that he was as tall as a cedar. He was a giant king that lived in the land. And if you remember, Moses killed Sihon and Og, who was also a giant. That's two. And then after Moses passed on, Joshua went in and killed 31 kings. So 31 plus 2 is what? 3. Who was 33 when he defeated his enemies? Isn't that neat? You're going to see something here in a minute. So Sihon gathered all his people together. Here's a picture of the kings making war. And went out against Israel into the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword. Because that's what comes out of Jesus' mouth is the sword. Okay? And possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon. For the border of the children of Ammon was strong. Here's another one. Deuteronomy 30 verse 2. And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee. There it is. He's going to return and gather thee from all nations, whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Remember the stones of the temple. They were taken down and scattered, and God has scattered Israel. But he's going to gather them together again. If any of thine be driven out into the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. Move over, Palestinians. Amen? Move over, United Nations. Move over, the Vatican. Move over, the Muslims. That land is God's land. And he's going to gather his people and give it to them. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. You know what that is? That's not the old covenant. It's the new one. And the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Remember, that's the first commandment that Jesus gave. Number one. So he's going to give them the new covenant, not the old one. Those who have fallen for the Hebrew roots lie are being taken and placed back under the curse of the old covenant by convincing themselves, because their teachers tell them that they must keep Torah in order to please God. Have you ever heard somebody tell you that? You're not keep Passover? You're not pleasing God. You don't please God. I keep Passover. I please God. No, you don't. God is only pleased when every law that he said is obeyed. If you miss one, you're cursed. That's what it says. So they convince themselves that through keeping Torah, that they are pleasing God more than you are. So they elevate themselves. as the favored people of God because they keep Torah. They don't keep this commandment that Jesus said. He said, as I have obeyed my Father's commandments, Jesus kept the law, every one of them. He's the only one worthy. So you obey my commandments. And the first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Joshua chapter 9, it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and the valleys, and all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Who's got sixes? Okay? Heard thereof that they gathered themselves together to fight with who? Jesus. Joshua. With Israel, with one accord, the sticks bundled together. Joshua 10:5. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up. They and all their hosts. Hosts are like armies. They're angels, the hosts of heaven. And encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Look at Amos chapter 2. See the kings of the Amorites? The king of Jerusalem. When I read that, that hit me because I've studied all the Grail legends, the Holy Grail legends, things like that. King Juan Carlos of Spain is said to have been from what's called the Merovingian kings bloodline. The Merovingian kings, including Juan Carlos of Spain, they are given an official title as part of their heritage and their bloodline and their royalty. You don't want to know what it is? King of Jerusalem. So who is this? And he's a giant whose height was like the height of a cedar. That's who the Amorite is. So here again, we have the beast gathering together against Joshua. Judges 4:13, Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900. Let's see, did I lose my place here? Here we go. 900 chariots of what? Iron. The axe, the iron kingdom. And then what happened to Sisera? He went into Jael's tent, Heber's wife, and she nailed him. Amen? Watch this. Sisera receives a wound in his head. A deadly wound in his head. Where did Goliath get his wound at? His head, his forehead. Sisera gets his in his skull. Where was Jesus crucified? Golgotha. The place of the what? And Christ was fastened as a nail in a sure place. Isn't it beautiful? He pierced the skull of his enemies and defeated them on the cross. And oh, look, the Lord called Sisera home. Amen. He died. 300 blew the trumpets. This is Gideon. What happened when Gideon and his 300 blew the trumpets? The men of Israel gathered themselves together. The children of Israel went out and the congregation was gathered together as who? That's Christ. The city knit together as one man. These are all just pictures of the gathering. And I'm looking at the clock. It's 12 o'clock and I'm looking at my list. I'm on page 23 of 64. I keep thinking, man, I want to finish this. Gather all Israel. They drew water and poured it out before the Lord. What's going to be poured out after the gathering? Vials of wrath being poured out. I could just go all day. I want to stop right here because I do want to talk about this one. Okay? You ever seen that before? You ever seen that? You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to show you what all that means. Okay? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, dun, dun, dun.
So, rather than just confining yourself to reading one little piece of scripture and then someone telling you, oh, don't worry about that. Start at the beginning and work your way through. Read the whole Bible. Read it one word at a time. And then God calls us, Brady, to preach the word. Preach the word. And so I don't know if you've caught on, but a lot of times when I'm preaching, teaching, doing watchman videos, whatever, I'm usually doing the word. There's one word that just grabs me and I just chase it all through. That's what we're doing right now. The word, the word, the word is gathered. Let's stand and be gathered. We're going to go have us a spot of lunch. All of you watching, stinks to be you. And we're going to go ahead and cut the feed off. And then we'll, what time are we supposed to get back? What time are we supposed to gather again? Who's got a deal? 1:30? Okay. So 1:30, we're going to, about 1:25, somewhere around there, 20 after 1, we'll turn it back on. We'll have Southern Race come back up like they did just now. 1:30, start playing. That'll bring everybody in, and we'll continue this. All right? Are we having fun today?
Yes.
I will love to just enjoy and study and have fun with the Word of God. All right? If you get a chance, please do this. Please go to my people and tell them thank you. Okay? They put on a lot of work for this. But it's their labor of love. They love to do it. They love to have you folks come in. And we are so blessed here by you folks being here. And some of you I see coming back, thank you. Well, man, we love you. And those of you who are here for the first time, we want you to come back next year. Okay? Okay? We'll check the calendar, Mama. Okay? But we'd love to have you back again next year if the calendar will let it. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless. And this will be the blessing on the meal. So when you get downstairs, grab a plate and move. All right?